background. The lab, I work for Within and Bari, it's called the Autonomous Ocean Sampling Network Laboratory. And our goal is to sort of facilitate a long-term oceanographic observations by robots. Collaborative experiments involving multiple institutions going on for years and years. That's our long-term goal. And so our involvement in this project was to try to apply some of what we learned in the past to collaboration systems, and then try to learn from this group to see what this group needs and wants to try to develop new systems and enhance what we have. And so in this process, we developed a system which is now called COSITE, a collaborative science portal. And as it's envisioned and implemented now, it will facilitate data discussion, data discovery, and scientific publication coordination. And this first slide kind of is not scientific. It's just sort of a bit of hand waving here, but it kind of gives an idea of, we're trying to judge, okay, when is it more appropriate to have sort of live one-on-one conversations on a daily basis or an hourly basis versus sort of a textual login, post your message, someone else logs in, posts a message, and you have a very slow communication. And it really depends on the duration of the collaboration. You know, if you're collaborating for years to decades, you know, meeting every day and having a web conference or conference call, it's not going to work. Whereas if for a couple days to weeks, and I think ITOP was on the range of months, and then it's a long start pointer. It's more reasonable, and also it depends on the frequency of changes that you're monitoring in your experiment. If things change every minute, obviously you need to constantly communicate and adapt to it. If things change on the scale of months, you can communicate very slowly. And I think the ITOP field program kind of falls on the left hand of the scale, that you know, some changes occur in the order of minutes, some things occur more slowly. The duration of the collaboration was in the order of months, but not many, many months. And I think we were able to have those live meetings every day and you know, facilitate to illuminate. Whereas I think in the ITOP experience, probably the planning phase and publication phase, probably things are going to slow down. You know, we're not going to have daily illuminate meetings on publications. Whereas you know, I think some textual messages seem appropriate. So the question is, when is ITOP or kind of thing appropriate? And this basically says the same thing over again. When interactions are slow and sustained for a very long time. So what is the state of the system we have now? So if you log into ITOP.org, you can review discussion items that were sent to discussion at ITOP.org. Here's an example, just looking at one that Eric published a few weeks ago. The full archive is of all the discussions are here, and click on a topic, open up an item, and here's what item Eric sent out. So the full archive is there. You can review the data collected by ITOP.org, and for example, there's right now, it's pretty simple. We're going to actually add some tabs to have different cuts through the data. Right now, it's just this calendar kind of thing. Click on a day, it shows you what's available for that day by data set, and you can dive in and see something. And an example is the common format ocean products. What we try to do is to take anything that was measured in the ocean and sent to us in digital form and plot it in the same time scale and the same color scales. An example of sea level anomaly from Aviso. Pretty straightforward. You know, someone clicked on a date and they went into the Aviso data set and clicked on sea level anomaly. And for this time period, got this image. And you can pan through time. You click over there, it goes back. Nothing shocking here. Another thing we did is one, let people browse products hosted by EOL. And these products are actually still on EOL. There's just links through our system to EOL. So this image is actually on EOL, but you can use the same tool to browse them. One of the reasons we thought this would be worthwhile is because one thing EOL doesn't offer yet, Scott may be working on this, is to take any of the products that EOL has and allow them to be viewed in Google Earth. So for example, this one, if you click on the KML button, it throws into Google Earth. If you want to overlay other things on top of it. And that includes things that need pretty extensive reprojection. For example, we have some images from the Central Weather Bureau, which are, you know, Lambert conform a conic projection, which really doesn't work in Google Earth. But we have a little reprojection engine that allows it to be projected and plotted with other things. And then something that we worked on just before this experiment was this idea of drag and drop these common format overlays. This was the reason for developing common formats, is that we could pick a standard product. For example, the UFCM GFS model, the 24 degrees Celsius isotherm. Maybe you want to compare this to observations in the field. So you start by selecting the standard product and bring up the plot, and then open up something. In this case, it's the, see what I threw up there.
An Argo.
Okay, so we're going to over the Argo over it, and so you click on the drag overlay, and simply drag it over here and drop it. That's in here, and voila, you have a model data in your comparison. The Argo data is these little triangles. The model is, yeah, the background. And you can try that with different data sets and different overlays. Another thing you can do is just log into the user list. If you want to contact anyone in this group, if you log in, you can pin users up here, pick the person, and get their contact information. If they've entered it, if they haven't, at least you'll get their email. So the question is, what's coming with COSI? We want to allow people to browse numerical data. Right now, there's a lot of numerical data in there, about half a terabyte of model products, and considerably less ocean data products, probably a couple gigabytes. But the goal here is in the next one is to let you browse that data more intelligently and make ad hoc plots. And to be able to comment on the data, and this is something that's been very high on the priority list, to say if you see a plot, have it. Comment on this plot, and this comment shows up when anyone else looks up the data, and it'll show on the list of things that happened that day. And you can opt in to receive emails on these data comments, or just log in to see them. And another idea is just annotations of plots. Sort of, in the past, we've had a tool that lets you just basically do a graphical loop. Sketchup kind of thing on any plot and resubmit it as a, basically as a comment. So the plot stays as it is, but people can see your sketch on it. Another thing that's coming along is this idea of a publication registry. So everyone's working on publications, and the idea here is to facilitate the process of working on publications. So you can announce your intent to publish something. If you have an idea for a publication, sort of a working title, or even not even a working title, just a working concept of a title, you can announce that. It allows the other co-authors to sign on, or you can actually say who you want them to be. It's basically out there, and people can join on, and it facilitates discussion of publication. So you have this topic, this people collaboratively work on an abstract for it, and then maybe have an area for discussion and uploads of drafts and whatnot. And also, and this is something that's important to another group that's using this tool, is to allow data to be linked to publications. So if a particular data set is being used in this publication, you can link it. And then if you're working on this publication or people are commenting on that particular data, those comments get fed to you, and so you can kind of get some interactive feedback. And also, it kind of helps to keep track of, okay, what citations need to be done for data, for example, to make sure that, you know, the thumbs up are given from the data providers, for example, the use of data in the publication, even if they're not co-authors. And it allows the data originators, if you threw some floats in the water and you want to know who's publishing with this, ideally this will help you sort of dig in and see, okay, what publications depended on this data. Here's just an example from a couple years ago. We had a Toronto Citizen Sampling Network field program in Monterey Bay, and we did a similar system where people listed their intent to publish, and everyone has a working title and a working idea of who the collaborators were. And here's just an example. If you click on one, you get some information about the author's title, abstract, and then discussion area, file upload area. And actually, just noticed that there happened to be a Santa Fe post-experiment meeting for that one also. So it's what is our vision for the future? We envision field programs that last years to decades, that, you know, a two-month ITOP is maybe practice for something in the future that goes on and on. And to do that, you need near-permanent observations by mobile robots. So these mobile robots can just be out there doing things continuously. I mean, potentially that could even be mobile air assets. So that's practical for type of studies, I don't know. I think we find it important that PIs can be engaged but not overwhelmed. A lot of PIs have day jobs and need to be connected to projects as they go on for years and years, but need to not be overwhelmed. One thought is, you know, can we design some agents, some sort of computer code, some little AI code that can tailor information feed for a particular user? Examples of programs that are going on and on. It's just, Edinburgh, we have a Canon Eddy study program. We're looking at nearshore ocean eddies that tend to persist for months at a time. And, when one goes away after a couple months, another one seems to appear. And this is a study that's going to work for years and years. And we're going to try to, you know, have some robots out there continuously. But it can be a low interaction kind of thing. And another example is the Central California Ocean Observatory System. That's less of a study, more of just an archiving task, but still the scientists who want to be engaged and continually monitor what's going on and discuss what's going on in that system. Another vision is to merge data streams and operational information. That is, maybe is there some way to sort of have a standard way of simulating and deploying? Can we sort of work with, you know, collecting this model data? Is there some way to sort of throw an asset into any given model and have that feedback given that asset's characteristics and kind of predict, okay, how useful does that asset be for making some observations? And, you know, hopefully we can answer some what ifs in the simulation framework. And another goal is to sort of push the idea of data as a publication. That a lot of field workers or people doing field work don't get a lot of credit for the field work they do. And can the data itself that they collected be considered a publication? And I mentioned something called Pangea here, and that's Pangea.org, and that's a scientific publication system online that kind of does emphasize the strength of data. And I think that's the end. Thank you.
Any questions?
I was wondering if by using this sort of drag and drop facility, if you're on a ship and you're going to have to mirror some part of the site on your ship, make it small.
Yeah.
Then kind of run into problems when you do that because the KMLs use a web format that's going to have to be active in. Have you found ways to work around that so these people can just mirror some small part of it down and still have all this facility?
So you're asking about sort of using KMLs on the ship?
Yeah, because you would have to develop this drag and drop ability with the KML files to combine data very rapidly and make quick decisions.
There's just a quick clarification. The drag and drop was actually just images. That was not KML. So that's something you can do through KML. You can drag and drop to Google Earth and narrow things that way. But this was just the pure image side of things.
Sure, but that is a web-based facility.
Yeah, it is web-based. So on a ship, you'd have to have some caching framework. Something we haven't worked on yet, really.
I'm just saying it's people don't have a lot of time to think. It's really useful to be able to think about what.
So I mean, we could perhaps investigate some sort of standalone tool to cut down bandwidth requirements for that.
Any other question? I would like to ask one question.
Yes.
Are the AXPT data available in the italk.org?
Not yet.
Okay, so when will that be available?
Is it actually available on EOO yet?
No.
I don't believe so, yeah.
So it's nowhere.
So we're just, I think Pete had mentioned September-ish. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. So any other question? If not, that's it. And so, Eric, you want to say
something? So just a quick announcement. So we'll get back together in an hour. That's 1:15. Give you 2 minutes. And this afternoon, we're going to have working groups on a variety of topics. Basically, I'll just tell you really briefly. We'll go over again at 1:15. We're going to break out by storm, so people can sort of say, if you're interested in this storm, what data is there? And there'll be leaders, which I'll be talking to you in a minute. And then we'll also be breaking out by different types of products that need to be produced for those storms. And I'll talk more about that at 1:15. And lunch is right outside the doors here, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
It's all ready.